Merry Christmas. It's good to be with you. Thanks for joining us this morning. If you don't know me, my name's Jorn. I'm the gathering pastor here and look forward to just trying to encourage you a little bit more on this topic of hope. The thrill of hope. What does that actually mean? When I think about it, I know that it's pretty easy for us to vacillate from a place of hope to hopelessness like instantaneously at times. And initially, you know, when I think of the word thrill, I think of the sense of like an emotional high or, you know, this one euphoric moment or a mountaintop experience, you know, a point in time that leads to some crescendo that, you know, I can share with someone. That's kind of how when I look at it, when I think about that word thrill. And I believe in those moments. I truly do. I believe that God wants us to have those kinds of experience also. I believe he provides it. I think that that's what Christmas is kind of about. It's this sense that there's an expectation of being reminded of God's love and why we're here and why we celebrate him. And it's a profound reminder of all that God has done. So, you know, when we head into this season, of course, there's this expectation and this emotional kind of place where we can build from at times. But hope is different. Hope is eternal. Hope has its eye on the future, and it's not limited by points in time. Hope helps us to stay the course when things actually get difficult. Hope tells us of the ongoing potential for God to do something new and fresh. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a little bit of that in my own life this morning. And one of the 50-day devotionals that someone had written this week said this. It said that hope is the endurance runner. It goes ahead and brings everything into this place where we can have the same perspective of as God and as Jesus. So when we look at hope, hope is defined as this. It's an expectation of what is to come. See, hope empowers us to experience in our hearts by faith what God will do in the future. What does God need to do today? What does he need to do tomorrow? What does he need to do in your life? Well, hope is actually the gift from God to be able to see what God has for you and us. And so this morning, you know, I'm just thinking about this, that, you know, when hope is seen through an eternal lens, it removes all the limitations that we might be facing right here in this moment, what's happening right now in our lives. It tells us that there are better days ahead. It tells us that we can be a part of those better days. And so as we dig into the scriptures this morning, I want to talk about what it means to have hope in you, that you are the hope of the world, just like Jesus is the hope of the world because he lives in you, that you actually carry this hope inside of you, the hope that God is going to use each of us as vehicles for his glory, for the ability for us to be able to reveal Jesus in so many different ways. That we're not just a lens that we see hope through, but we're a lens that others see hope through also. That when they're around us, they actually see their future. They actually see Jesus because of what we believe and how our faith drives us to love the world and to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Even this morning as we consider the Christmas story, we're going to take a look again at Jesus before he comes to the earth. This idea, this proclamation that comes to Joseph and Mary, and that they get to be a part of understanding what God was going to actually do through them, that they were going to be what we call carriers of hope. And we're going to figure out like, well, okay, how does this land in our own calling? What do we do about being carriers of hope ourselves? I say this whenever I'm talking about story in the Bible. The best way for you to be empowered by what you're going to hear in the next 15, 20, 30 minutes is this. Put yourself in a narrative. As you hear the story, as I read the story to you, find your place in the narrative. Be honest with where you are. I mean, if you're feeling hopeless, just embrace that for a couple of minutes in the narrative. It's okay. If you're confused or you maybe right now you're in a difficult place and you don't even know what God is trying to do in your life, there's a place in the story where you can find yourself. This is where the Holy Spirit, I think, will speak to you to most. I believe that God is going to speak to us through the timeline of the story that we're going to read about Mary and Joseph. So what I decided to do was to take the story from Matthew and Luke and create that timeline. And so I just want you to follow along with me. It's a pretty long passage, but I'll do my best to read it as quickly as possible. But I just really encourage you, find your place in the story. It says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged in marriage to Joseph, but before they came together, she found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you." Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and was unwilling to disgrace her publicly, he resolved to divorce her quietly. But after he had pondered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to embrace Mary as your wife. For the one conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Mary was greatly troubled at the words that she heard and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Mary, you have been found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." So no word from God will ever fail. "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." That means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he embraced Mary as his wife. Let's just take a minute to pray. Father God, help us to find our place in the story of hope. Open our hearts and minds to the potential we have to bring hope to the world. Let us see what you see. Remove every barrier this morning that would try to disqualify us from being a part of Jesus' plan this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. When I think about this story, I think about you and I, because this story is about people who chose to believe God. God's desire to use them for his glory. That all the stumbling blocks that should have disqualified them were not enough to stop from God fulfilling his redemptive plan. That he had a plan and a purpose, and he was going to fulfill it through Joseph and Mary, just like he wants to do it through you and I. That when the angels explained how God would reveal his plan to humanity and how God was going to eradicate everything that separated man from God, that something happened in the hearts of Joseph and Mary. It wasn't enough that there were circumstances. It wasn't enough that there were challenges that they were going to have to face in the natural if they chose to do what God told them to do. That wasn't enough. What was enough is when they heard that Jesus, the Son of God, was going to come to the earth and he was going to rescue humanity from their sins and save them from themselves. That's what inspired them. It's what revitalized them. It's what called them to do what they were going to do. And this morning, as we look at the scriptures, we need again to find our place in the narrative. Find your place in the story. What has God called you to do? And what will actually motivate you to do that? It's not enough unless it's about Jesus. It's not enough unless you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you personally and tell you that he has a plan for your life that will reveal Jesus to the world. There's a scripture that I love. It's in Colossians. It says this. It says, "Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectations of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people, and God wants everyone to know it. God wants everyone to know it. Let me say this. God can't do this without you. Actually, he refuses to. Now, I know God is sovereign and he can do whatever he wants, but I want you to know he's not going to do it that way. From the beginning of time, what God promised is that he would fill people with his presence, and then with his presence inside of us, we would reveal the very presence of who God was and who Jesus is. This has always been his plan, and that is to work through people. Why? Because he is a hopeful God. And when he pours hope into you, it's impossible for you not to pour hope into someone else. It's impossible. That's what he does. That's what he chooses to do this morning. And it doesn't matter where you're at in your walk with God right now. If you'll believe he is a God of hope and he fills you with hope, then I promise you one day, or maybe this Christmas, or maybe, you know, sometime later, when you're singing joy to the world, you'll actually know what that means. It won't just be a song that you sing, but it'll be a revelation that comes out of your own hopefulness because of what God has done in each of you. So let's just look and see what the Holy Spirit does here and how he causes us to be. Brandy talked about it this morning, what it means to be a Jesus apprentice. An apprentice is someone who looks like Jesus, acts like Jesus, talks like Jesus, lives like Jesus, responds like Jesus. That's what an apprentice is. And the first thing that we see here is that God calls out to each of us. He calls out to each of us. It says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Why? Because I want you to know that hope is inclusive. When God calls out, he calls out to all of humanity. He calls out to each one of us. We're not off in some, you know, far off place where we're deaf to the Spirit of God trying to speak to us. Every one of us gets an opportunity, hundreds, thousands of times probably, to be able to hear God come and awaken our spirits and say to us, "Hey, I'm here." Now, I can imagine if I'm the messenger, you know, and I'm trying to have this conversation with Mary and I'm the angel, it kind of would sound more like, you know, the Godfather. "Hey, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. You're not going to refuse this." No. You know, it's kind of like, you know, listen, you're going to get freaked out a little bit when I tell you what's going to happen. Actually, you're probably going to get a little bit afraid. No, that's not what God does. See, God calls us just like he called Mary, because a hopeful God needs to address us from a place of hope. "Greetings, people of Midtown. You are highly favored. And the Lord is with you." Ephesians 1:18 says this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and the incomparable great power for us who believe." What a promise, even in that verse right there. So what is hope? What's the hope that you've been called to today? What's the hope that God has laid on your heart? See, because you are his treasure chest of hope this morning. There are riches in you that God has set inside of you because you belong to him. And you don't just belong to him, but you belong to others. You belong to each other this morning. You actually belong to a world that doesn't even know Jesus yet. So what has God called you to this morning? How is he going to use you? Because see, hope is the assurance of his calling on your life. Hope is the assurance of the calling that he has on your life. Those words Mary heard were hope-filled words this morning. Let's just take a moment, just for a moment, and we're just going to close our eyes. I really feel like, you know, we need to do this. We're just going to close our eyes for a moment, and we're going to ask God to try to speak to us. And as you close your eyes, I just want you to simply say this, and we're going to just take a moment in silence. Say this: "I am highly favored and the Lord is with me." Just close your eyes and say that, and let's see if God wants to just try to speak to us this morning. know that quiet can be uncomfortable at some times. But what's God saying to you? Anything? Anything hopeful? Or even while you're trying to hear, you know, you're troubled. It's blocking out trying to hear from God. You know, sometimes hope-filled words need to be confronting our troubled thoughts. Sometimes it takes a little time for God to really do that. It says that Mary was greatly troubled at the words she heard. I admit, sometimes when we need to hear things more than once, it can be challenging. But God in his faithfulness doesn't just speak to us one time. Sometimes we have to hear hope-filled words over and over again. See, hope is tenacious. Hope is tenacious. It's not quick to give up when we try to reject it. Hope doesn't let us wallow? Is that it? Wallow? In our sin? In our failures? It doesn't let us lay in despair, in hopelessness. It doesn't let us run the same thoughts of negativity through our mind over and over and over again. Hope is tenacious and it refuses to let that happen. Why? Because God doesn't want Eeyore-ness to run our life. God wants us to have his perspective and the ability to hear from him and honor what he says, because everything that God does is about us knowing him, knowing Jesus, and knowing who we are. See, hope convinces us that we belong. Hope refuses to let you and I disqualify ourselves. No matter how hard you try to argue with God this morning or sometime later on, hope says, no. I'm putting my fingers in my ears right now. I'm just going to be like a little kid, go la, 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 until you stop trying to tell me all the things that disqualify you. That is not the hope of God. The hope of God is that he says, no, you belong to me. See, Mary was a nobody. She was a nobody from a nobody town. And there was a lot of other circumstances. But I can tell you, anybody that knew what Nazareth was would have, you know, like a snob, just put their nose up to it, as there's nothing good there. It's insignificant. But see, that's not how God looks. I think when it comes to God's grandiose plans, he's wanting to include us no matter what. But here's the issue. Sometimes I think we all have to admit that we're a little bit like Nazareth. We've got that kind of, oh, God doesn't want to use me. God's not going to do anything through me. God's not going to, you know, let me do anything. And we're so trapped in where we've come from that we're not able to disassociate from that, because we don't understand really why Jesus came. But if we know why Jesus came, then what God does in speaking to our hearts is to separate us from that kind of Nazareth attitude, that I'm a nobody going nowhere attitude. I know the logistics when you read the story seem impossible. I mean, you've got a pregnant woman who's not married. You've got a guy who's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? There's going to be judgmental eyes. You know, there's going to be people talking about discretions and wondering what's going on. And I am telling you right now that when God tells us to do something, no matter where we're at in our walk with Jesus, no matter where you are right now and what you even believe about God, if God says he's going to do that, I can tell you, he surely can overcome anything that you're struggling with. He can overcome your doubts. He can overcome your personal arguments. He can tell you, listen, this isn't how it's going to work out. It's going to work out the way I want it to work out. Romans 5 says this. It says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. Hope never puts you to shame. God never says, hey, I got a plan for your life, but by the way, you know, you're not a very good person. He didn't come and say, listen, I'm going to do something so profound and powerful in you, but you're still going to kind of feel like crap while I do it. That's not what we see here. We see a hope that deals with everything around us, deals with the shame, deals with the power of the enemy, and causes us to be able to say, no, God has a plan. So what's God saying to you right now? As you listen to this message, where are you at? Like, where are you at in the narrative? Are you still over here? Are you still in the mully grubs? Are you still down? Are you still low? Are you still fighting and resisting the possibility that God could do something powerful in your life right now? Or are you kind of leaning more towards, hey, I'm going to believe this? Every one of us on a regular basis has to hear this message and be able to say to ourselves, it's all about hope. It's about hope wrestling you away from your past. Hope lets you see the future and actually leave your past behind. It's all about that. Why? Why is it about that? How can this possibly happen? Well, it says here, no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. When we choose to believe what God says, when we choose to receive what God has for us, when we choose to say, no, hope is my friend. It gives me power. It gives me faith. It causes me to love. It causes me to endure. It causes me to go further than I ever thought I could go. When I begin to see that, then all of a sudden I realize, like, oh, whatever God is doing in my life, he's going to make it happen. He's going to let it happen. Because see, hope empowers our mission. Hope actually gives us the ability to be representatives of Jesus. You know, when I read the discussion about Mary and Joseph, you know, with the angels, I realized that this really wasn't about them. It feels like it is, but really this is about God. This is about a promise that God had made from the beginning of time, that God was going to fulfill his promises, that he was going to be faithful to his promise and faithful to the world and faithful to a dark place that people would be in. That he was going to come and he was going to meet people right where they were at. Because see, if it's only about you and about you needing to receive and you being able to kind of like suck it up and stand up, and it's only just about what God needs to do in you, listen, we will always shrink back. Eventually, we will give up. We will give in. We will go back to the thoughts that we had before we heard about hope. But see, when we realize that hope is always about God fulfilling a promise through us, then we won't shrink back. See, we have to believe it's about Jesus. It has to always be about Jesus. Then we'll do whatever it takes. We'll pray like we've never prayed before. We'll love our neighbors like we've never loved them before. We'll share the gospel. We'll actually talk to people about Jesus. We won't kind of dance around on the outskirts of, you know, do you believe in God? We'll just be so full of the hope of God that we will actually want to talk about Jesus. And we'll want to invite people into our lives, actually invite them in to our messes, so that they can watch God unfold his promises in our life, so they can say, oh my gosh, if you've got faith for where you're at, I want the exact same thing. There's something so powerful that happens when we fully embrace hope. It says this in Corinthians. It says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are very bold. I like this. I like this a lot. I like it says we're very bold. Not kind of bold or periodically bold, but bold beyond intimidation. A boldness that comes, that creates a radicalness that takes place in our heart because our faith and trust actually becomes tangible. It becomes real. It's not ethereal. It's not something that like you're always thinking in your mind, but you never actually get to live it out. No, it's there. It's manifesting itself. So that the world can see who Jesus is. So the world can understand that we are on a mission. See, hope is the resource of a heavenly perspective that actually sends us on mission. Mission is the plan and purpose that God has for your life this morning. We talk a lot about it here. We talk about what it means to be a Jesus apprentice. We understand that in the Bible, there's two things that you and I cannot avoid. We try, and we try to dance around it, and we try to create some type of different scenario to say we're doing it. But the reality is that God has required us to love our neighbor and make disciples. Love our neighbor and make disciples. That's what we're called to. And hope-filled people understand the mission of God, and they understand who God has called them to be and what he's actually called them to do. It says this at the end. I like this. They were convinced. Joseph and Mary were convinced. They were convinced because God encountered them and it was real and it was personal. It was tangible. An angel showed up. I'm not going to say I'm an angel. I'm not. My wife would clarify, no, Jorn, you're not very angelic at times. But I believe the message that I'm giving you is the same message that Mary and Joseph would have heard. It would have confirmed something in their heart to the place where they said, may your word be fulfilled. May God's word be fulfilled in your life this morning. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Why? Because we come back to this idea of like hope in you. You're a carrier of hope this morning. Hope says, I'm not going to do this alone. I'm not going to do this without you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to put a burden on your heart. I'm going to break your heart sometimes for people. I'm going to break your heart for where you're at in your own walk with Jesus. I'm going to come and I'm going to encourage you and I'm going to say to you, listen, this isn't about you. It's about me. And if it's about me, then I can do what I want in you. So that we can say, yes, God, this is actually what I want. I'm going to share with you, you know, over the last few weeks, I shared this with the worship team this morning. Over the last few weeks have been, they've been pretty rough for myself and my wife, Bonnie. We've been facing a lot of, you know, challenges, multiple challenges. And not only that, but I don't know about you, when you're facing a challenge, there's always this part of like God is trying to do something in your own heart. You know what I mean? Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? Like every time something goes on around you, like you should always assume that there's something that God wants to do in you. And so over the last couple of weeks, you know, there's just been this struggle. I've been struggling trying to pray, struggling trying to even do my devotions. I'm doing them, but you know, there just isn't this like that hope, this expectation when I'm trying to have time with God in the morning. And it just simply has been a tough couple of weeks because of a lot of circumstances. Some of them have nothing to personally do with Bonnie and I, but we are right in the middle of messes and it's causing this conflict. And on Friday, Pastor Stacy in the 50 Days of Hope devotional, he asked us to take a moment and think about the people who encouraged us and where we've been encouraged personally. Now, I want you to know, man, I couldn't think of one person on Friday morning. I couldn't think of anything. I'll just be honest with you. I was sitting on there and I was just like thinking about everything that's going on. And man, it just took everything for me to try to say, God, help me to see. Like, when was the last time someone actually encouraged me? I know it's happened, but when you know when you're under duress, how it just deafens your spirit to hear from God at times? That's kind of where I was at. And on Friday, I'm reading this devotion and I'm trying to work it out and I'm trying to say, God, speak to me. And all of a sudden, God brought this memory back from years and years ago. Years and years ago, we were only Christians for maybe a year or two. And God brought this family into the church and they were struggling something terribly. Every part of their life was broken apart. They were struggling. They didn't have a job. They didn't know where they were living. I mean, it was just like all these things were going on in their life. And they had committed that they were going to follow Jesus and they were trying to follow Jesus, but all these things were in the way. And I just remember, you know, it was right at Christmas time. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I think we need to take our Christmas gift money and give some of that to them. And so on Christmas Eve, while the carols were being sung and candles were being lit, I slipped out of the church and went and found their old beat up, rusty pickup truck with rust all over it, and you know, no one's going to steal anything. So the doors are open, and I opened the door, and I just slipped an envelope with money onto the front seat of the truck. And all of a sudden, it was like I was right back there. Like sitting in that chair, all of a sudden, it just felt like I was standing in that parking lot on a cold winter's day, night, Christmas Eve night, tears running down my face as I started to think, God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much that you've done something in my life where I can give something of mine to someone else. I don't know what happened. No one ever knew. We never told anybody. I mean, this is the first time I actually think I've ever told this story. But the joy that filled my heart as I went back into that church, the joy that my wife and I felt as we, you know, held hands and we sang together and we realized, like, oh my gosh, God is so real. What makes God real to you today? How do you know that God is real? Well, he's real not just because of what he's done in you, but he's real because that same hope that you've received, you just can't help yourself but finding a place to be on mission, to release the grace of God through your life, and to see God do something powerful. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." What are the reasons you hope today? What are your hope-filled thoughts as we head into Christmas? Right now, there's someone in your life who needs Jesus. And the way they're going to see Jesus is not just because you tell them about Jesus, because you're so full of hope that he's able to use you to help them to see exactly what Mary and Joseph heard back then. I'm going to send Jesus. He's going to forgive all sins, and he's going to save all men. This is what he does when we believe that hope is in us. This is how he works in each of us today. Nothing has changed. Figure out how to get over the struggles in your life. Figure out how to die to those things that have been controlling you and causing you to say, well, I think I believe in Jesus. I know I believe in Jesus, but I just have never been able to get over the hump. Hope is the power for that to happen in our lives. We're going to sing Silent Night together as we finish up. And Matthew 5:14 says this, "We are the light of the world. We're carriers of light. We reveal hope because light dispels the darkness, and light reveals truth, and light helps people to actually see who Jesus is." And so as we begin to sing Silent Night and people are coming with candles, they're going to help.